All right, here we go. Make every effort. Will you say that with me? Make every effort. Very good. Make every effort to live at peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. And he could bring about no change of mind, though we sought the blessing with tears. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, realizing that there are situations that we are in, challenges that we face, choices that we make each day, Lord, that have an impact on our eternal destination, Lord. I pray an anointing upon our time this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your words, Lord, would come forth, Lord, and we would receive, Lord, a vision, Lord, of what you have before us, Lord. That you give us the opportunity to grab on, Lord. That you give us the opportunity to cast off that which hinders us and binds us up, Lord. That you give us the opportunity to find you, Lord. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
It is good to see you this morning. Talking about trading up, talking about choices today. They got this show. Joe and I were watching it, and it was called something like Stupid Criminals. What was it called? Stupid Choices That Criminals Make, or something like that. You guys ever seen that show? Anybody seen? Yeah. And there was this guy, right? And he's applying for a job at this mini mart, and he fills out the job application, and they got this on camera, right? And he walks up to the guy, and he gives him the application, says, "Here you go," and he sees the cash register right there, and his customer comes up, and the guy opens up the cash register, and he says, "Give me that money, give me that money, give me that money," and he's like strong-arming the dude, grabbing the money, and he runs away, leaving his job application in the guy's hand. And he used his real name. And he used his real Social Security number. And what's more than that, he lived in the apartment complex right next to the store. And so the police showed up and they just read the guy's address and just walk across and arrest him. Poor choice. Can I get a witness on that? We're talking about people who make poor choices today. Bible says, don't you be one of them. How many of you are here today because you made some poor choices before? Amen? Yes, I think one can relate. We're in a series called Pressing On to the Prize. You want to get to the prize, you got to make good choices. Getting in the way of the prize is poor choices. Last week we talked about the discipline of God. And if you have accepted the Lord into your heart, if you become part of his family, he is going to begin to mold and shape you. And sometimes that is less than pleasant. Can I get a witness on that? There are some times when the Lord is going to come to you and is going to say, hey, there is this section in your life, this part in your life that I want to fashion differently. And he is going to begin to fashion you he says that my Father will prune you the way a vine dresser prunes a vine. And there's some sections of our life that just get cut right off. And that is less than pleasant. And he says, don't give up. As you are being disciplined, stick to it. Keep to it. We read here today, the message of the Lord would come us. And he says, if you hear that message, don't refuse he who is speaking to you. God makes an offer, that God reveals the prize that he has for you, a new future. And he says, make sure that you say, yes, I'll take that offer. Why does he say that? Because there are those who God would make an offer to and they'll say, no, thank you. There are those that would reject the voice of God and the message of God. And the Lord says in this scripture that we read today, don't let that be you. Now, I'm sorry, we got some little guys over there. They need to go downstairs, or they got to go in the back room. That's you. No, you're fine, but he's got to go downstairs. There you go. It's part of that discipline process. We do it here. God does it to us. We got to go where God says that we need to go. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. I got a little bit of that from Roki today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yes. God has a message for us. It is a message of success and a message of victory. A message of advancement. He says, make sure that you say yes. See, and the Bible speaks. He talks about in Romans chapter 1, those who would exchange the truth of God for a lie. He says, don't be one of those people. He says here that Esau, we're going to take a look at this. Esau exchanged his inheritance for a bowl of stew. Is that a poor choice? Belteshazzar, is that a poor choice? Is that a poor choice? Help me on this. That's a poor choice. Trade in your inheritance for a bowl of food. The last time I checked, last time I had a bowl of stew, I was still going to be hungry the next day. Today's message is called trading up. God says if you're going to make a trade, make sure that you trade for something better. Amen? And God is making an offer of what you have for what he has. And how many of you have found out that whatever God has is better than what you've got? Amen? Sometimes it comes in a check from the state of California that Aaron got in the mail in the state of California. He got no money. Did you cash it already? I want to make sure that it cleared for you, bro. We'll see today that the choices we have, the choices we make, will have eternal consequences. Many of us are here because we've made poor choices. Many of us are here because God has offered us a better way. And today we're going to take a look at making better choices and making sure that we trade up.
Amen.
Amen? All right, let's take a look. Choices make changes. You're here today. You've made a choice to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Changes are going to happen in your life. Changes are going to need to happen in your life. You cannot follow God and stay where you are. He says, make every effort to live in peace. How'd your week go? How was your peace level? Some of your peace levels were rather low, right? God says, writer of Hebrews says, you make every effort to live at peace with all men. That includes your spouse. That includes your children. That includes your pastor. Make every effort. Does that mean try hard? Help me now. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Would you say holy with me, please?
Holy.
He says, without holiness, if you don't have holiness, you will not see God. How many of you guys think holiness is rather important? You don't got holiness, you will not see God. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. See, there's a responsibility that you got. See to it that the people around you don't miss the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Requirements for God's people. These are requirements for God's people. These are requirements to find advancement in the kingdom of God. These are requirements that you might find success in your life. One big choice that I want to present you today is the choice that you need to make to be holy. It is your ticket to the presence of God. It is your ticket to see God. Now, I have a challenging scripture for you. The reason he says to be holy, because so many of us are not. So many has come out of situations that are way less than holy. Bible says, don't you know that the wicked means those who are evil, those who are not holy. Don't you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? That parallels what the guy just wrote. Said, without holiness, you won't see God. the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the same statement. Are you tracking with me? He says, don't you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Don't get lied to. Don't be ripped off. Don't buy a lie. Don't make a poor choice. Neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, or swindlers are going to inherit the kingdom of God. Going to make a choice today? Make a choice to be holy. Holy, holiness means being separated from the world, being separated from all that stuff, and being separated towards God. Being holy means separated, being separated from the world and being separated towards God. Without holiness, it is impossible to see God. You have to watch out because you can miss God. You have to watch out because you can miss the grace of God. And some of you are thinking, I'm messed up because I'm on that list. I don't know what I'm going to do today, Pastor. It says, we have a responsibility to those around us. Make sure that nobody misses the grace of God. See, that nobody makes a poor trade. And you're thinking, man, I've already made a poor trade. I've already done that stuff. Well, I got some good news for you. Because we keep on reading, the very next verse says, and that is what some of you were. Can you say were, please?
Were.
That is what some of you were. That is what some of you used to do. Those are some of the choices that you used to make. And he says, but, that's a great word, amen? But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And he says, you're not on that list anymore. You might have been sexually immoral, but you can make new choices today, amen? And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from your past mistakes and prepare you for a brand new future. But it's choices that you got to make today. Because I tell you what, if you're going home to get drunk, you're still on that list. If you're going home to have an affair, you're still on that list. If you're going home to do any of that stuff, you're not holy. And if you're not holy, you're not going to see God. How many of you guys want to see God? Got to make some choices today, folks. Now, the Bible talks about this root of bitterness, this bitter root. And what that talks about is a root that produces bitter or poisonous fruit. We used to live on the orphanage, and the orphanage director planted these lime trees. And I'm telling you, those kids would pick limes that were like as big around as maybe a kiwi. Well, I guess that's about how big they are anyway. But, I mean, little, tiny little limes. So bitter, man. They would just mack those things down like they were the best thing on the planet. Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm talking about? You ever eat? It's like, ah. There are people whose lives are like that. Whose lives produce poison. Whose lives are bitter and angry. Oh, I got a hand. Yeah. Took my picture last night. Because you look in the mirror, sometimes that's what we look like, right? That comes from poor choices. That comes from a life. Are you standing up? Because there's no, okay, all right. I thought that might get you to sit quickly. Now, what he says, right? And people talk about, oh, you know, sin will make you bitter. How many of you guys are happier that you stopped being on that list? Amen? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, life is a lot better. But you're on that list. You're making those choices. You know, why do you make that choice? Because I'm selfish. It's all about me. I want to get high. I want some money. I want to get some a little snuggly going on. It's all about me. And what happens when you don't get enough? You look like that. Right? And the writer of Hebrews says, don't you be like that. Watch out that that doesn't get started around you. Why? Because it spreads. It'll spread off of one to someone else. Right? He says, watch out that that root of bitterness would take root and defile what? Many. And what can happen is that root can just take root in your family, right? And that selfishness that would come from any person, that sin, that choice of sin, where you put yourself in front of God and you become bitter because you're not getting hooked up enough. And that poison will flow through your whole family. And he says, don't let that bitter root take root in your home, take root in your heart, take root around you. That see to it. See to it that nobody around you misses the grace of God. See to it that nobody around you gets that bitter root. There is a responsibility that we have one for another. And that might be your next door neighbor, right? That might be the people you're sitting to right in church. You're going, oh, because you got to step up. You got to step up. And you got to be, how many of you are blessed by Roki's words of encouragement? I was totally blessed. He's got the gift of encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager. We have a Barnabas among us. And every time he talks, he says, oh, you're doing good, you're doing good, you're doing good. And guess what? The enemy brings attack against him because the enemy doesn't want that message coming to you. And so he battles through this morning so that we can get that message. And he says, yeah, I'm still mad. Well, give him some encouragement. Let him know how much that message happened. Because we don't want to be like that. Amen? Yeah. Everybody's going, oh, is that me? Is that me? All right, here we go. Choices make changes. Talk about trades, poor trades. Esau made a poor trade. Esau was the brother of Jacob. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. Now, we're talking about what? Don't forget this bitter root. Don't forget about the missing the grace of God because it's tied into the choices that we make. One of the choices that we might make is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is being involved physically with somebody you are not married to. What? Yeah. You can be involved physically with one person. Your spouse. That's it. Anything else is called what? Sexual immorality. Oh. It says, see that no one is sexually immorality or is godless. Sexual immorality and godless. Don't be like that, like Esau was. Okay? Esau is somebody who was godless, but there's more opportunities for godlessness than just what Esau did. Does that make sense? So he says, don't be sexually immoral. Don't be godless like Esau. Take a look at Esau. Esau, who sold his inheritance rights as the oldest brother for a single meal. Poor choice? Oh, yeah. And guess what? After he ate, he was thinking, that wasn't the greatest stew I ever had. And he says, afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He said, wait, I still want the blessing. I still want my inheritance. He said, no, you traded it away. For that stew, I don't think Esau was thinking, oh, that's not a real deal. No, that's not coming back on me down the road. I'm just going to eat this stew, and I'm going to slide through, and we'll get my inheritance anyway. And he says he could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. And he tried to change his situation, but he couldn't do it. Now, that's some good stew. Does that look like good stew? I tell you what. Not only is it good-looking stew, it's actually lamb stew. Some of you go, oh, disgusting. That just sings to my heart. Now, as good as that looks, And Larry, there's a piece of bread on the side with some Parmesan grated. There's some sprinkled green stuff on it, big old chunks of carrots and potatoes. However good that looks, it's not worth an inheritance. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, I ain't got no inheritance coming. My dad died owing the government $150,000, and I got no inheritance. And that stew would have been a plus. But Esau's dad was Isaac, and Isaac's dad was Abraham. And Abraham was one of the richest men on the planet. And that is the inheritance that Esau traded away. Choices. Choices we make today for something as simple as a bowl of food can come back to haunt us. Sometimes it's choices for something like a bowl full of crack cocaine, pipe full of methamphetamine, syringe full of heroin, girl walking down the street. All kinds of opportunities for you to make a poor choice that down the road you might say, oh, Lord, let me out of that. Esau did. Esau was a hunter. Esau, I'm thinking, is like Rocky. He's a tough guy. He goes out. He's hunting animals. He's doing all this stuff. He is a man of the wilderness, of the woods. He's tough. He's honed. You know what? I'm not thinking that Rocky spends a whole lot of time crying. I don't cry a lot. I don't think Esau was crying a lot. But it says in this situation, he tried to change a situation with tears. And nobody was listening. And there are choices that we make that will put us in the wrong situation. And you can get too far gone. You kind of scoff. Oh, sexual, you know, he's talking about sexual immorality. Why? Because it's in the book, guys. It's a big choice. God's not going to hold me up on this. It's just a little thing. Everybody's doing it. Bowl of stew, folks. Bowl of stew. God's paying attention to what God says. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. God shows us our options. You have options. To show us, we're going to take two pictures here in these next verses. One is Mount Sinai, the other is Mount Zion. Picture of Mount Sinai starts. Chapter 12, verse 18 to 21 says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched." We come to a spiritual mountain. Mount Zion is a spiritual mountain. He says, but Mount Sinai was burning with fire, darkness, gloom, and storm, and a trumpet blast, and such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them. We're talking about Exodus chapter 19 and 20, and God's speaking to the people, and people are like, oh, no, we want to hear from God anymore. Moses, you go talk to God, and you tell us we'll do whatever he says, but we're tripped out by what God is saying. There's this display of fire and storm and gloom and darkness. And as the picture of judgment says, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. And that is the message that Moses had, who spoke face to face with the Lord. The one who had brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt, who had the power of God wielded in his staff. And he said, I am seeing this and I am freaking out. Mount Sinai, a picture of the mighty power of God and a picture of the judgment of God. That God gave the law. God gave penalties for sin. And as the people saw, they said, I'm a sinner, what do I do? Like maybe in your heart you said, I'm on that list, what do I do? And they said, we don't want to hear from God anymore because we're trembling with fear. The Bible uses this picture of darkness to display judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Saw a great white throne judgment of God. And he says, and him who was seated on it, and the earth and the sky fled from the presence of God. The earth and the sky fled from the throne of God. Now I got to think, if the earth and the sky are gone, it's kind of dark. Wow. Kind of terrifying. Judgment for sin. The earth and the sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. Something terrible to behold. Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Contrast this picture, the picture of Mount Zion. He says, but you have not, see, contrast where the recipients of this letter, says, you have not come to Mount Sinai, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and you're thinking, whew, to the city of the living God, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, doesn't that sound better than darkness and gloom and storm? Amen? We're talking about the church of the firstborn. We're talking about a heavenly assembly of thousands and thousands of angels. See, Sinai was a place of judgment, but Zion is a place of mercy and of grace. And God says, make sure you don't miss the grace. Because if you miss the grace, it's going to be stormy and gloomy and dark. Don't miss the grace of God for a bowl of stew. Don't miss the grace of God for sin in your life. God gives you an opportunity to make a choice. God gives you the opportunity to make a change in your life. And he says, please hear me, children. I need you to trade up today. So you hear about Mount Zion, man. You hear about heavenly angels. You're thinking, yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm looking forward to. Now, I want to let you know. We talk about Jesus, right? Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. We need a way to go from Sinai to Zion. We need somebody to guide us from the Mount of Judgment to the Mount of Grace and Mercy. And Jesus is our guide. My question is, do you know him today? Have you asked him to be your boss? Have you asked him to be your Lord? Have you made him your Savior? Say, Lord, I will guide you wherever you lead me. But just lead me away from Sinai, Lord. Because if you've made that choice, other choices happen as well. You got to be moving off the list. You got to be choosing holiness. And he says that the blood of Jesus speaks better than the blood of Abel. So I talked to three guys to come up and help me with communion. We're going to come to the Lord's table, and I'm going to talk to you about the message that comes forth from the blood of our Lord. Some of you don't know, but Abel was the son of Adam. And Abel was killed by his brother Cain. Cain slew Abel. And the Lord would walk amongst his children. I mean, talking second generation of people on the planet, right? And he had spoken to Cain about his offering. And Cain was downcast because the Lord wasn't receiving his offering. There was a problem in his heart. And he says, hey, if you do right, won't your offering be accepted just like Abel's? And rather than do right in his heart, he chose to kill Abel. And God came and he says, Cain, where's your brother? What have you done with your brother? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And he says, Abel's blood cries out to me from the ground. And it does not say what that message is, but I think something like, God, Cain killed me. And there was a cry for vengeance. There was a cry for penalty. My life has been taken. But the message that comes from the sprinkled blood, the message that comes from Jesus' blood, the message that comes from the cup that you hold in your hand, which signifies the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, it speaks better because it speaks from a life that was given, not taken. Amen. That the message of Jesus is a message of grace and a message of mercy and a message of forgiveness. Thank you, Thomas. So as you hold these elements in your hands, you think about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you. Think about Jesus' blood leading the way from the Mount of Judgment to the Mount of Mercy. Jesus was slain. Jesus was crucified on Passover. Bible says, I think Matthew chapter 7, that Jesus is our Passover lamb that is slain for us. And that was the 10th plague. It was the death angel that came to the firstborn of Egypt. And the Lord told his people, sacrifice a lamb and take its blood and put it on your doorposts. And when the death angel comes to bring judgment on Egypt, the death angel will pass over your house. And so, as we talk about Mount Zion, we talk about Mount Sinai, which talks about judgment. We talk about Mount Zion that talks about mercy and grace and forgiveness. And our author says that Jesus' blood speaks a better message. A message of judgment passing over you. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. See to it that you do not refuse him. See, there's some of you, even today, that might have said, nope, God, you're speaking to my heart, but no, I don't want it. Bible says, see to it that you don't refuse him who speaks. If they, the ones at the mountain, if they who heard his word, if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? And God offers you an escape. You can leave that right there, bro. That's fine. All right, that's fine. Hurry up. All right. Sorry. God offers you an escape. He tells us see to it because there's many who are going to miss it. There are many who are going to go the wrong way. There are many who are going to reject the message of God, but it's a message of opportunity for you. There are some of you who would say, I'd rather sin. Because I think God's just going to let me slide by. Well, I want to let you know that Esau couldn't slide by and it was just a bowl of stew. And I'm telling you, when you get to judgment day and whatever sin you are exchanging the promise of God for, a relationship with a man, a relationship with a woman, drugs, alcohol, theft, gluttony, I don't know what it is. But it is going to look so small in comparison to what you sacrificed. Esau's bowl of stew looks so small compared to his inheritance. But you know what? If you tell God today, no, he says, okay. I'll see you later. But it's going to be dark. And it's going to be stormy. And I'll be sitting on a white chair. You can tell him no. You have free choice in your life. You think, well, this is a ripoff, man. He's talking about the Jews that he set free from Egypt. They were the ones who came to the mountain. They were the ones who received the law. Why? Because he set them free from 400 years of slavery. Why? because they said, God set us free. And maybe you have said, God set me free. Maybe today you said, God set me free. He's going to give you new choices. He's going to give you choices for holiness. You might say, well, I never signed up for this. When they showed up to Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt make no idols. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt honor the Sabbath. Shall honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal and don't covet. You're thinking, how limiting is that? I want you to notice that he gave those in response to him setting the people free, not so that he would set them free. He didn't give them those Ten Commandments in Egypt, says, you do these 10 things and I'll cut you loose. No, he cut them loose just because they asked. And he said, because I've cut you loose, and if you want to have a relationship with me, this is how you do it. And they said, oh, we don't want it. And the Bible tells us that everybody died in the wilderness. Two guys made it. Caleb and Joshua. Everybody else perished. And I got to think, as they were dying in the wilderness, that they might be thinking, you know, I think we made a mistake back there. And I'm hoping if you're making a mistake today, that the Lord is speaking directly to your heart, because you have an opportunity. If he's still speaking to your heart, you still have an opportunity to change. But if you're not, you might be like one of those bitter women, or you might be like one of those bitter men. And that root of bitterness will defile many. That root of bitterness will defile those closest to you. Hallelujah. They rejected the message of God. We don't want that deal. That rejection had a price. They're paying for it forever. God's going to sort everything out, folks. Last three verses. At that time, his voice shook the earth. He's talking about when he was bringing the Ten Commandments, he was bringing the law to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And the words once more indicate the removing of what cannot be, or what can be shaken, that is the created things. That God's going to shake things up, and everything that's wobbly and everything that's rackety is going to fall off. And what's going to be left is what cannot be shaken. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and let us worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Moses was trembling, folks. He shook the earth. Back in Exodus, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. See that? He's a consuming fire. It says the smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. And the people were freaking out. They said, get him away from us. We'll surely die. See, God wants to get rid of the wobbly stuff. The real question today is whether or not you're going to make it. Some of you, your grasp is weak. When the shaking happens, whoa, you're going to slide right off. Our choices have an effect upon our grip. Our grip on Jesus and our grip on the kingdom. The Lord speaks of choices that we can make that will trade away the grace of God. They'll trade away the pathway and the offering. And he says, when it comes right down to it, we need to worship God in acceptable fashion. We need to be holy, because without holiness, you won't see God. And there's some people that are just going to get burned up. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. So are you ready for the shakeup? Are you solid or are you wobbly? I've talked about your grip on God today. And realistically, God's got his grip on you. And it's not so much dependent upon your grip. Because God's got you. He's got you as much as this chair's got Belteshazzar. It's hard for him to get out of that chair. But he says in Matthew chapter 7 that on judgment day, there's going to be many that run up to him and say, Lord, Lord, looking for a high five. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. Depart from me. And they're going to go, what? Wait a minute, we were hooked up. And he says, I never knew you. And in his kindness and in his mercy, he lets shaking come to your life now so that you will know your future. So how'd your week go? What kind of choices did you make? Right now, I'll tell you what, you made some poor choices. Snapshots going right through your head. You made some good choices. Right now, snapshots going right through your head. Why? Because the Lord wants you to know where you're at. You're solid. You're good. You're not going to be shaken. He's saying, you're good, my child. Then we go back to last week, got a little discipline going to get you better. Oh, don't go back to last week, Pastor. But some of you might be thinking, oh, I'm good. Got my stew. I'm going to slide right on through at the end. God's not going to be paying attention to this choice. And right now, you might be saying, oh, no, I'm paying attention. The blood of my son will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you got to turn from it, and I'll heal you. Let's pray, Lord, pray, Lord, pray, Lord, pray, Lord, pray, Lord.